Greetings, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here at the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. I'm coming to you with a special educational opportunity here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, where fall classes are about to begin. On Monday evenings, we have Defending the Christian Faith, American Sign Language, and Financial Peace University being offered. On Tuesday evenings, we have our flagship Biblical Counseling program that is being offered. And on Thursday evenings, we have a new class, God's Viewpoint, Responding to the Gender and Sexuality in Our Culture. So why don't you give us a call at 412-242-3255 to find out more information about how you can enroll in one of these classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude part one of developing intimacy through a love relationship. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part one of developing intimacy through a love relationship.
Wow. What an exchange. How many people will go for that deal right there? You give me $1 million and I'll give you a pair of old raggedy shoes. How many people will go for that deal? One. We got one. All right. We got one that will go for that one. I wouldn't go for it. But yet and still, what a awesome thought to think that God would give his son to die on the cross for our sins. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. That whosoever believeth in him, the impartiality of God's love. God loves all people and does not favor one person over another. God is not the God of this race or that race. God is not the God of this class or that class. God loves all people equally. And as we think about that, that's something that man can't do. That's something that we ourselves can't do. I don't think there's a person here that could sit and say they love everybody equally. Now, you might love everybody, but you don't love everybody equally. There are some people you love more than others. But God loves everybody the same. That whosoever believeth in him, the impartiality, for God so loved the world. And then we see the invincibility of God's love. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is indestructible. Those who are recipients of it will never be separated from the love of God. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, it said, the Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Paul put it like this, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How does God love me? And so as I begin in this love relationship with God, as the lady said, sometime I just need to sit in God's presence and just let him love me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Just let God love on you. Feel the sweetness. The psalmist said that my meditations of him shall be sweet. But we can go on and talk about what are some ways that God loves us. How does he show his love for us? And I don't have time to read the whole thing this morning, so I just put it up here on the screen. But if I would challenge you, I shared with the people at the Master's Kitchen on Friday. I shared from Psalm 103, and I told them, go home and read Psalm 103 for the next week. Just read it every day. It'll take you about 2 minutes to read it. And that lets you know ways that God shows his love for us. The psalmist began the psalm by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Forgiveness. He heals, who forgives all thy iniquities. Healing, who healeth all thy diseases. I'm talking about the benefits of God now. The redemption, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. The provision, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The justice, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Even this, the revelation that God shares with you, the things that he has in store for you. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. And then we see his grace and his mercy. As we look at his grace and mercy, for the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, neither rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression. Somebody said, how come he didn't say the north and the south? Because I've been told that if you travel north long enough, you'll start to go south. And if you travel south long enough, you'll start to go north. So at some point, north and the south meet. God says, I've taken your sins so far away from you that you'll never meet up with them again. As far as the east, as long as you travel east, you'll always be going east. As long as you travel west, you'll always be going west. God said, as far as the east is from the west, I have removed your sins from you. Jeremiah said that he's buried our sin in the deepest sea. And I heard somebody said and posted a sign which said, no fishing. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed your sins from you. Like a father pities his child, so the Lord pities them that trust him, for he knows our frame. He knows our frame. He knows that we are broke down sinners. He knows that we are lost and we are undone. He knows that within us there's very little goodness. He knows our frame, and he remembers, because he's the one that created us, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passed over it, and it is gone. We are here today, gone tomorrow. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. How much does God? I just gave you two glimpses. There's so much more that we can get into when we talk about God loving us. But I just wanted to whet your appetite today. John 3:16. Psalms 103. Just sit before the Lord. And as the lady said, let him love on you. Let God love on you. And as I read these verses that tell me about God's love, that I take that as God saying to me, I love you. I love you. So there's no question about his love for me. What about me? I am to love God. Look at Psalm 18 in verse 1. So we've looked at God loving us and how we can let God love us. Now, how can we love God? How can we uphold our half of this love relationship? In Psalm 18, the psalmist says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I will love thee. And as I studied this out in the Hebrew, it says that this is the deepest term of affection that could be expressed from one person to another. I love thee. Lord, I love thee. Moses said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Jesus repeated the same commandment in the New Testament when he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. What is the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is to love God with everything that's within you. And I think that's somewhat of what the psalmist was saying when he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that. And I think that he was going to say, with my tongue, with my hands, with my feet, with my life. And I think that he just figured out he couldn't include everything. And so he said, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Everything that I have, every fiber of my being should bless the Lord. And so that's the beginning of what it means for us to start loving God, is that we love him with everything that's within us. I don't know about you, but I know that when I was in the world, I went hard for the devil. I went hard for the devil. And now I want to go hard for God. I want to love God with everything that's within me. In the book that I shared with you earlier, The Hour That Changes the World, there's a quote in it from a man by the name of Harold Lindzell, and he says this: the highest worship of Almighty God consists in being wholly taken up with him. Wholly taken up with him. It is the most intimate form of communion in which the creature adores his creator. The finite before the infinite. The powerless before the powerful, and the nothing before the all. As we come, we give God everything. Give him our love. How can we love God? Well, the first way that we can love God is by thinking about him. In Psalm 104, verse 34, we read it. It says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. People in love, guess what they do? They think about each other. What's that song by Aretha Franklin say? Daydreaming and I'm thinking of you. Daydreaming and I'm thinking of you. They think about each other throughout the day. And sometimes the thoughts are so overwhelming that the person feels it necessary to reach out and let the other person know that they're thinking about it. When Cupid's arrow strikes, they fantasize about the person during the day, and they dream about them at night. And these thoughts are not only delightful, but they're plenteous all day long. The psalmist says that if I'm going to be in a love relationship, if I want to have intimacy with God, I need to think about him. Do you think about God throughout the day? Do you think about how he's guiding you and protecting you? Do you think about how he's providing for you? Do you think about how he's given you salvation? How he's provided deliverance for you? Do you think about him when you're dealing with a difficult situation and say, Lord, I need you to help me in this situation? Do you think about him when you receive news that a loved one has died and you say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make this on my own? Do you think about God? Do you bring him in? It's like a magnet to steel. That the magnet just attracts the steel. And a soul that loves God will attract thoughts of God. If we were to put your life on a meter and could gauge how much of your day you spend thinking about God, would it even register on the meter? Do you have thoughts about God? The psalmist says, my meditations of him shall be sweet. That I'll meditate on the one I love. I'll think about the one that I love. Read that Song of Solomon. And here you will see an individual thinking about the person that they love. What does it mean to love God? It means that we think about him. Secondly, what does it mean to love God? It means that you sing to God. And that's good news for a guy like me. I'm reminded of the story of the man who heard the hummingbird singing up on the pole. And he saw an old buzzard that was on the ground. And the buzzard flew up and swallowed up the hummingbird and came down and said, "I can't sing, but I got singing down in me." "I can't sing, but it's down in me." And somebody said, "And that's where it should stay, right there." But praise God, the Bible tells me, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing. You want to woo God? And I'm not trying to paint God as this person that we can manipulate, but I'm just saying, from a figurative standpoint, do we want to woo God? In your devotion time, sing out to God. In moments like these, I sing out a song. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I say, "I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord." Sing unto the Lord. Look in the New Testament. I have two scriptures that I want to show you. Look at Ephesians 5:19. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Ephesians 5:19. It says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to" who? The Lord. To the Lord. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to" who? The Lord. You want to deepen your love relationship with God? Sing to him. Look in God's eyes. Take God by the hands. Look into his eyes and sing to him and tell him that you love him. And there's so many songs that we can sing. So many songs that we can sing. How I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. In moments like these, I stand amazed. Joyful, joyful. My tribute. There's all kind of songs that we can sing to the Lord. Just get you a hymn book. Don't steal the one from Bethany, but go out and get you one. Get you a hymn book. Go on the internet. Pull up the lyrics. Sing to the Lord. And somebody said, "Well, I don't know any songs, and I don't know where to get any songs." Well, you know what? Psalm 33, Psalm 40, Psalm 96, Psalm 98, Psalm 144, and Psalm 149 says this: sing a new song. Sing a new song to the Lord. Make up a song. Just start singing. Whatever comes on your heart, just start singing to the Lord. Thinking about him, singing to him, thanking him. That if you want to be more intimate with God, just thank him. Anyone who is in a love relationship with another person knows the value of appreciation. It might be a soothing back rub. It might be a special gift. It might be a tasty meal. Or it might be just somebody taking care of you. When these things are done, it's good to hear, "Thank you." It's good to hear, "I appreciate it." What makes you think God is any different? We studied back many sermons ago that God is a person. And if we have seen God do good things for us, then we ought to tell God, "Thank you." When was the last time you said thank you to the Lord? Thank you, even though I got problems, even though I got difficulties, even though I got issues, Lord, you've been good to me, and I thank you. Lord, as we look at all the tragedies going on around the world, and I used to hear the preachers down south pray this: "Last night, my bed could have been my cooling board, but God allowed my golden moments to roll on a little while longer." And I thank you, Lord. Thanking him. We deepen our relationship by obeying him. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 21. We deepen our relationship by obeying him. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. How can we deepen our intimacy with God? By obeying him. That is, he only said, but hath my commandments and keeps them. I heard a story about a very wealthy man who had three sons. And when each one turned 18, he gave them a book of wise sayings. And he told them all to read it. And as each one turned 18, he gave each one a book of wise sayings. The first son felt that the things in it were too strict, and so he got tired of reading and he put it down. The second son was a little neglectful, and he lost the book. The third son read the book all the way through. Came to pass that the man died. And after the services were over, they read the man's will. And as they read the man's will, the person that read the will opened it up. And he said, my will is to be divided equally among the sons that brought the book of wise sayings with them. And there was only one son that had the book. So the other two were upset. They said, well, how did you know to read the book? And he said, well, I read the book all the way through. And you know how at the end of the book there are blank pages? Well, Dad wrote, bring this book to the reading of my will. What did Jesus say? He that hath my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me. We know that we love God when we obey him. And then we know that we love God when we serve him. There's a book entitled Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And in this book, it talks about how to find a person's love language and how to speak that person's love language. One of the love languages in the book is acts of service. And that is, if you know the other person likes to be served, you serve them because that's the way you express your love for them and show them that you love them, by acts of service. And so as we look at God, God knows that we love him, and we deepen our love for him when we have acts of service. Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And if we really want to deepen our relationship with the Lord, we should serve him. And then finally, how do we love God? We love God by doing these things as we come. Thinking about him, singing to him, thanking him, obeying him, and serving him. Let us pray.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part two of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, part one of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship, part one. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship, Part 1, or call us at 877-831-5060. Dr. Glaze has authored a book titled In the Garden with the Father, which can deepen your study of the pursuit of intimacy with God. You can order In the Garden with the Father by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.